Welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks for being here. And tonight on the big program, I'm going to talk about the Republican Poverty Tour, reportedly heading to Pittsburgh. And not a second too soon, because you'll remember last week it was announced that 15 food pantries are going to be closing. Maybe Chairman Reed and the Republican Policy Committee and their big listening tour, maybe they can help. Or, you know, maybe some inspirational talk about bootstraps. Maybe that's what they'll bring. Also going to be talking about the assault on our safety net as food stamps, the idea, the law, 49 years old, coming up here at the end of the month. We'll talk about that. Also, the Spicoli look-alike. I still think it was a plant. It was a setup, but we'll see. We're going to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement. Some interesting leaked information. We'll see who the winners, the losers, and, well, we know where we stand in that. Also going to talk about the new legislative liaison at the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue, none other than a T-Twit, and more on gun owners. We'll talk about that as well. Also, your thoughts, your questions, comments, whatever is on your mind, 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. So we're coming up to the beginning of school. My daughter had her big orientation today where she went to the school that's not quite done. And I look at this, and I've been thinking about this project that they're doing at my kids' school that they've been building for some time now. We were told when it started, be done before school started. It would then be done a couple months in. Then it'd be maybe the end of the school year. My daughter was told lockers middle of the first semester, lockers by Christmas, lockers by the end of January. Well, we don't know. You go, well, had you used union labor? Had you used a project labor agreement? Had you, well, a contractor that would hire better skilled workers? Maybe you would have kept falling behind. Just a thought. Something to consider. But what was interesting is one of the things that my daughter has caught on to, and maybe it's me, I don't know. Maybe it's my distrust of what goes on. Maybe it's my anti harassment, leave me the hell alone mentality. But she said, Dad, that when I bring my gym clothes to school, I got to bring my gym clothes to school in a clear plastic bag. And I'm going, really? What about your book bag? She goes, no. If they make me carry a clear book bag, I'm staying home. I'll be homeschooled. I go, oh, really? Well, I mean, it's good to have the ability to take a strong stand, even if you don't control it. But, hey, good for you. I'm proud of her, though. I got to be honest. I think she's growing into a young lady who's going to stand up for herself and hopefully have the head on her shoulders that she's not going to blindly go along with the flock. That's my greatest hope for her, is that she will be a thinking, critical thinking citizen in this country. Because I'm telling you, every day you look around and you go, there's this creeping intrusion, and I know people love to point their finger, oh, it's the government. No, it's us. If we allow it to happen, it's our government doing it. It's not the evil government. It's us. And I was looking at the newspaper the other day, and it a couple of the high schools around the state putting in more cameras. I guess there are going to be cameras all over the schools because, we got to keep an eye on those kids. Just like in some school districts where they actually give the kids chips, because we need to track them. We need to make sure that we can find them. And I'm uncomfortable with that. In fact, I'm uncomfortable with a lot of the police state tactics. I'm uncomfortable. And I know, I've had so many people tell me, oh, Rick, if you're not doing anything wrong, why does it matter? If you're not doing anything wrong, why does it matter that there's a camera on every corner? If you're not doing anything wrong, why does it matter that every classroom and every place is going to have a camera? Because understand, to me, cameras, this is reality, cameras are after the fact. They're the response. They don't prevent anything. They're simply there to help clean up the mess at the end. They're reactive. They're not proactive. I mean, if you really wanted to stop violence, if you really wanted to stop crime, you'd hire more policemen. If you really wanted to stop crime and you really wanted to end poverty, you would add more resources and create more jobs. You'd give people opportunity and hope and all of that stuff. It's just much easier to put a camera up, though. And, of course, the camera companies love it because it's good for business. It's good profit. And I look at the statement that Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, uttered on his radio program last week, which was all the rage on Friday's cable news. According to Bloomberg, you know, he said, well, you know what we should do? What we really should have is a fingerprinting to get into the public housing in New York. And his rationale was, evidently there are allegations. And that's what it all starts with. It starts with allegations. Allegations that some of the people who live in these buildings, well, they're not the people on the lease. So we should fingerprint them to get in the door. Instead of saying, well, we should maybe do is, you know, have someone who fixes the locks so that the key gets in the door. Or, you know, maybe hiring a person to be in charge of the building that makes sure that the people, just a thought, you know, it's easier to say, well, what we want is we want fingerprints or biometric data. We want ice retinal scans. And there are those who believe that we should just be doing that as a matter of course. We should be taking all of this information because we can, creating a huge database so that we can solve crime after it happens, of course. But I look at this, and 620,000 people that live in the public housing in New York City. I'm thinking this could be a good job-creating thing. Just take the fingerprints, throw them away. Something to create jobs, right? Would you want to be the one fingerprinted? You know, I drive a truck on the weekends occasionally because, you know, I got to be honest, when I came back from our tour, I realized, you know, I miss driving. So I picked up a weekend gig where, you know, once in a while I'll take a little road trip. And to get that job, I had to go through the fingerprinting process. Because, you know, you could be a terrorist. And I remember saying back when they did that, I remember saying, look, you know, eventually it's, you know, they do it with the truck drivers first because they can, they're pliable. Then they do it with the poor because they're easy and they're pliable. And they don't really have the power and the resources to fight back. Eventually it's all of us. And I remember saying at the time, I remember saying back when they came out with the commercial driver's license back in 92, that, you know, this is going to be the wave. This will be a national ID because my driver's license, I have a commercial driver's license. Mine is a federal driver. It is issued by the state, but the federal government oversees it. It's actually an international driver's license, really, because I can go into Mexico in theory.